Last week we saw in Proverbs 2, we looked at the value of wisdom. And this week we will look at more benefits that wisdom supplies to us. When we apply wisdom and trust in God. So chapter 3 really is pretty long, and I want to try to get through it today. Somebody said, hey, no, take your time. That's my favorite chapter. But we've got like maybe 5 weeks left for me to teach. So we have to really kind of determine which chapters we want to move forward with. And really, chapters 1 through 9 are it's just an introduction to the true Proverbs. The true Proverbs start in chapter 10. And so what we are learning is we're learning the benefits of wisdom. We're learning what wisdom does for us, how we acquire wisdom, and how wisdom helps us to walk in an upright way, in an upright path. So today, we're going to do chapter 3. And before I get started, I'll say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the law, the books of the law. We thank you for wisdom books and the books of prophecy and the books of the disciples and the letters to the various churches. And ultimately the revealing, the coming time of the revelation of your Son. We hold these truths, Father, in our hearts. We believe them, we acknowledge them, we recognize them. And we move forward asking you to enable us through the power of your Spirit to walk in the ways of which you have revealed to us. In these things I pray in Christ's name, amen. So I'll read, I don't want to read the whole chapter, it's pretty long, it's got 35 verses, but I'll read up until, let's say up to verse 12. And this is the New King James Version. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. The rewards of wisdom. And if you look at your outline, I didn't do any sub topics to the main topic, because I wanted to, with all of the verses to go through, I wanted to really stay more topical, because if I start dividing them out, we'll be 3 weeks in this one chapter. So my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life. And this is a warning that Solomon is giving to his son, not to forget the teaching that he's receiving, and the commands that he's giving, which actually implies the close relationship between the proverbial teaching that he's providing and the law of Moses. The benefit of keeping these teachings can be seen in verse 2. Son, if you will keep my teachings, not forget them, but let your heart keep my commandments. If your heart keeps my commandments, you will have length of days and years of life, and peace will be added to you. Length of days and years of life. Letting the heart keep the commandments is not simply a mental exercise. When he talks about let your heart keep my commandments, it's connected to a life of obedience. It is what flows from the desire that flows from your heart, and that is reflected in the path or your manner of life. And I know that there's some people may look at this and say, well, if I trust in the Lord, you know, I'll live to be like maybe 110. I don't know why you want to do that, but this is more the statement. Years of life or length of days, it's not a promise. It's more of a principle. So don't you see all the time that there may be young folks that are in the Lord or young adults that may go home to be with the Lord, which, you know, the quality of life after 22, 23 years or 30 years is very important. And that is what's in view here. So it's more of a principle than a promise. And that's walking rightly with God by valuing his word. And so number two, we walk rightly with God by trusting him. Verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. I am sorry, hold on a second. Nope, we're not there yet. So just verse 3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of men. The commandments should be near. That's why he says to bind them around your neck. There's something that should be very, very near to us and very, very dear to us as well. It's just like what he says in verse 1, to let your heart keep the commandments. You bind them around your neck. They are close to you. It stresses that the teaching that is being given by Solomon to his son, the commandments are going to be a part of his character, a part of his nature. And it also holds true for us as well. Now, and as I said early on at the onset, we know that this is Solomon giving his son instruction, but we have to look at this in a couple of different ways. As Solomon giving his son instruction, but also very, very wise words for us to live by ourselves and for us to treasure in our own hearts. And you'll find favor and good repute or high esteem, good understanding in the sight of God and man. Does that remind you of a certain verse? finding favor and good repute? Yes, exactly. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, he says, and it says, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom. Increasing in wisdom and in stature. And in that wisdom, in increasing in that wisdom, he found favor with God. He found favor with God as he increased, as he grew, and as he learned wisdom. When he walked this earth. So that really is something that tells us that walking in wisdom is very important, because walking in wisdom will help you and open the door for you to find grace in God's eyes, to find favor in God's eyes. And not only that, but also to find favor with men, with people that you work with, people that you associate with. And like I always used to say, and the people that are next to you in line at Kroger's, just everywhere, in every situation. So we trust in the Lord, verse 5, walking rightly with God by trusting him. We trust in the Lord, with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That's a favorite verse for a lot of people, isn't it? That might be the most popular proverbial verse anywhere. Trust in the Lord. Our trust in the Lord means we reject our own understanding. And it's a parallel here. We trust in the Lord with all our heart. And as we do that, we don't lean to our own understanding, because our own understanding is not guided by God. It's guided by our wicked heart. In verse 6, he says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Acknowledgement is an indication of knowing, recognizing who God is. And he says, he will make your paths smooth, or he'll make your path straight. And how does he do that? He does that by removing obstacles to allow us to walk in the path that he has set before us. Perfect example that we actually learned about last week, if you were here in chapter 2, and he talks about different ways of walking and different paths that different types of people walk. And that's what we're talking about. The Lord will make your path straight, and he will make your path straight as you exercise wisdom and understanding in your life. When we go back to chapter 2, we see, I start in verse 7, and these are examples of that path being made straight. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk uprightly. Verse 8, he guards the path of justice, and he preserves the way of his saints. He guards the paths of justice. Verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice. Equity in every good path. You see that? A direction, a course of life, the way that we live. Verse 11, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil. This is keeping our path straight. This is how the Lord does it when we exercise wisdom, when we cry out for understanding, when we cry out for knowledge. And in regards to the man who speaks perverse things, or the immoral woman, or the woman who speaks perverse things in the immoral man, either way. Verse 20, so you won't walk in their ways. You won't walk in perverseness. So you may walk in the way of goodness. Walking in the way of goodness. This is the Lord making our path straight through enabling us to walk in an upright manner based on our knowledge, our understanding, and our acquiring wisdom. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. You know, I can think of many times in my life that I tried to do things under my own power, when I, especially being younger, thinking I was smart. My understanding really is pretty much nothing. When I remember being young, trying to figure out who God was, where He came from, how He operates. And this is before I profess salvation. And I think that my conclusion, that I reasoned within my young mind, as I look back, I'm not even going to say what it was. It was the dumbest thing ever. I don't ever think I ever thought of anything that dumb since then. Trying to reason and understand, leaning to my own understanding to determine who a holy, righteous, and mighty God is. That doesn't even sound right, does it? So let's not lean to our own understanding. And hopefully we can encourage each other to do the same thing. Don't lean to our own understanding, but trust in the Lord. Walk rightly with God through a humble life. Verse 7. So don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Don't be wise in your own eyes. If you look at verse 7 and 8, you see a really pretty good parallel to verse 5. Verse 7 says, don't be wise in your own eyes. And verse 5b, I guess you would call it, do not lean to your own understanding. Same thing. Don't be smart in your own eyes. And trust in the Lord with all your heart, the beginning of verse 5, it can be seen as the same thing as fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Because you remember what we learned from chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is that understanding, that acknowledgement of who He is. And based on that understanding, we look at Him awe-inspired, just struck with awe that a mighty God exists, and that He would even consider sinful man to develop a relationship with. How blessed are we? How happy are we? And we'll see that too in Proverbs. And you'll see most of Proverbs kind of repeats the same theme over and over, but maybe like in a different way. It's just a way of reinforcing what is being taught. You say it one way, you say it another way. Fear the Lord with all your heart. and lean not to your own understanding. Or don't be wise in your own eyes. You fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. In verse 8, our trust in the Lord. Actually leads to well-being in our lives. Bone and flesh are not just the structure of our body and the tissue, the epidermis or whatever you want to call it of our bodies, but it is our whole selves. That's the idea behind the terms, the Hebrew terms here. It is our whole selves, not just flesh and blood, but us holistically as a total being. Healing to our bodies and refreshment to our bones. So the word health and healing, once again, reflects the whole person. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 22. You guys hear me okay? Because I don't believe that half of you would even say anything. That's something. Chapter 4. When he talks about, he's talking about not letting words of wisdom depart. And he says, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Do not let them depart from you. Verse 21. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. His words. So if you look at it, health to all their flesh. Can we just like speak healing with words and make someone just eradicate of some illness? No. But holistically, the words of wisdom that are being given to us can help us live, have a life of, as it will say later, a pleasant life, a happy life. So, refreshment to your bones. It means the whole person, the complete person, not just the physical person. So verse 9, walking rightly with God in regards to your possession. Now here's where the rubber meets the road for a lot of people. And hopefully not any of us. And once again, Proverbs talks about valuing wisdom over silver, valuing wisdom over gold. Because there are people that actually put their trust in material things, in wealth. People trust in their wealth. I know some folks, and I don't know if I've said this before, but I know some folks that have a pretty good 401k, really good savings. Trust in it a whole lot. As a matter of fact, talks about it all the time. You can tell where a person's heart is, what they're saying and what they talk about. Talks about it constantly. And you know, every once in a while I'll say, well look, you know, boy, the stock market can crash at any time. Say, what would you do if the market crashed and everything's gone? Your retirement, your nest egg, the thing that you work so hard for, the thing that is here on earth that's corrupted by rust, covered by dust, eaten by moths. What would you do? No answer for that. absolutely no answer. But there is an answer, though. You honor the Lord with your wealth. We do that because we realize that every good thing that comes from us, every resource that we have, who's it from? Yeah, amen. The Lord provides. Now, He gives us the skill. He gives us the ability to do accounting, to work in manufacturing, whatever it is. But it is the Lord that gives us that ability for us to go out and to provide for ourselves. And what are we doing when we give to the Lord? We're honoring Him. We're recognizing the fact that He provides for us. So because He provides for us, simple. Just give Him the best of what you got. He's given it. What he has given, He has given to you. Don't be selfish with it. And I tell you, just being a part of a church body that really values fellowship and the one anothering, you know, the giving of our first fruit really is very important. And I've seen that work itself and manifest itself in a very, very positive and godly way. So it's not just giving, you know, and that's it, but it has a wonderful benefit when you do that. So we honor the Lord with our wealth and from the first of all our produce. So our barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Who in here has got a barn? Anybody got a vat with wine in it? No, but I do have a refrigerator though. and I do have, yeah, refrigerator, sorry. And I do have savings accounts and checking accounts. So my barn will be full. And this is, once again, sometimes we have to look at this as a principle because we know that there are people that live in environments, economic environments, that whatever they do, they'll never be rich. So this principle holds true. And the idea of honoring the Lord with our wealth, once again, is from our heart, understanding that He provides all. It reminds me of the story of the widow that gave the one mite when people were just going up to the collection plate and Christ was looking and they were just dropping just, oh, look how rich I am. Look how rich I am. To be seen of men. And this poor lady with one little bit of currency that amounts to nothing gave out of her poverty. But she was honoring the Lord when she gave. That's the key. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow. You honor the Lord when you give. Verse 11, receive correction from God with the right heart. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. You think that we can get a 2 or 3 year old to understand that? Not very likely. But as kids get older, their understanding grows. Their cognitive ability grows. And they do understand. So when we discipline our kids, we don't do it to be mean or nasty or evil, right? We do it to correct behavior. And we do that, hopefully, for their own good. Not because we don't want them to embarrass us in public, which has happened before to many of us. But my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. That correction is a reflection of love. So don't despise the correction, the instruction, or the chastening that the Lord does in our lives. It is necessary for us to be shown the correct path to take, the correct way to walk, as we've seen from chapter 2. And even though the correction and reproof can be harsh, it actually is a sign of that the Lord does love us. And I've heard pastors say that a lot. If you're not being reproved in some kind of way, you know, you hope that the Lord hasn't done this, taking his hand of grace off of you. Because that's important. You know, my dad reproved me. He disciplined me because he loved me. Not because he was a mean father, but because he wanted to correct some behavior. And this is what correction, but typically how it helps us. It exposes a sin not previously seen. It shows the nature of a problem that needs to be addressed. That's funny. A two-year-old toddler. I'm going to punish you to show you the nature of a problem that needs to be addressed. But if you're old enough, then you do understand. Discouraging the sin that's in our lives, discouraging us to practice habitually that sin that's in our lives. And it guides us to reject that sin and to walk in obedience. And that's the key. And that is the key of trusting in the Lord. You trust the Lord because in your heart, you understand you have the fear of the Lord and you want to be obedient. Trusting in the Lord is not just, oh yes, I'll trust. It's obedience along with the fear of the Lord. You have to be obedient to his commands. So verse 13 and 18 through 18, or 17 as I have it here. Yes, 18. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares to her. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant. The ways of wisdom and understanding are pleasant. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. We see paths a lot, don't we, in Proverbs. We see it a lot because it is highlighting our manner of life, our conduct, and how we live. So it's really very, very important. Paths and ways are littered. Proverbs is littered with those words, those terms. And her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her fast. So finding wisdom and understanding will lead to a happy life. So just like earlier when we talked about, and I talked about holistically, the whole person. You know, you may have some ailments, may have some pains here and there, like I've started to get as I mature. Where did that come from? Why can't I just get out of bed and just walk like a normal human? Things just happen. But as a whole individual, having wisdom and understanding can lead to a happy life. And it's better than having material gain. It's better than a 401k. Because it reflects a character that will produce contentment. A character that will produce that quality of life. Paul says that he knows how to behave when he's got plenty or when he has nothing. If you have that heart, whatever condition you're in, you can be joyous or you can be happy. Probably really the difference, different from what the world says, isn't it? Wisdom is the tree of life. She is like a tree of life. And I know we can all relate to tree of life, right? Genesis. In the middle of the garden was the tree of life. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when the Lord cast Adam and Eve out of the garden, what did he do? He guarded the way of the tree of life. At least they would eat and live forever. Can you imagine sinful man living in a sinful condition forever? But we don't know what kind of fruit that tree of life was, do we? Don't know what it tasted like. Don't know what it looked like. But we do know that if we have wisdom and understanding and the fear of the Lord in our lives, that we can experience the exact same benefit that the tree of life in the middle of the Garden of Eden would have provided or could provide. Wisdom, understanding, fear of the Lord. Wisdom is like the tree of life. You practice wisdom, you cry out for understanding, you cry out for knowledge, what happens? You live. You live a life eternal. Verse 19. The wise creator. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up. In creating the world, God showed his great wisdom. And we can see this in the features of things that are big, like the universe as a whole, or things that are small, like butterflies. You know, one of the programs I used to watch when I was a kid, most of the National Geographic shows that showed animals, and, you know, not just the big ones that ate antelopes, which were my favorite, of course. You're 9, 10, 11 years old. You like to see a lion jump on an antelope and eat them up. But some of the smaller animals, where they do studies on how they have adapted to their environment, in a sense, and how unique they are in the way they communicate and the way they live. a wise creator has done that. And one thing that really, really gets to me is, or I should say one thing that I really don't understand, is how people can believe in the concept of the Big Bang theory. I don't understand that. An explosion does not create, does it? If you see a bomb drop on something, what's it going to do? It's going to annihilate it. Absolutely, positively annihilate it. I think it takes more faith to believe that than it takes to believe Scripture sometimes. You're telling me that a big ball of dust gathered together, generated enough heat, however the concept is, exploded, and boom, look at this perfectly ordered system. Really? Let's just take our system along, the Earth. What's holding it up? What's causing the planets to rotate consistently over years and years and years? God's wisdom. That's what's doing it. He created it. He sustains it. He upholds it. And it did not come from a Big Bang. I can't even imagine how big that ball of dust had to be to create the universe, though, if you think about it. We've had, Voyager? How long has that thing been out there in outer space? Year, 10, 15 years? I don't know. I better not say anything because I don't know for sure. But it's been moving. It's been moving, and it's way out there. So, and it's probably still not even close to the nearest star that we can see. Explosions can only destroy, not create. So the Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up. And in this creation that the Lord exhibited his wisdom, it screams of the existence of him. It is a self-revealing creation that we see. God's wisdom. So Romans 1, and that's where Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 20 tells us. The creation reveals God. It reveals his wisdom. It reveals his power. It reveals his divinity. It reveals everything about him. So, wisdom from trusting God, walking with God and valuing his word, walking rightly with God by trusting him, walking rightly with God through a humble life, walking rightly with God in regards to our possessions, the things that we own, receiving correction from the Lord in a humble manner. The benefits of God's correction and God as the wise creator. So that is all we have time for today. I kind of thought that maybe I would get through this, but that's okay. We can continue. Then I'll do a chapter and a half maybe next week. I'll try anyway. Any questions or comments? Mike?
This is the furthest thing from personal autonomy, where we rule our lives.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even in the sense of trusting the Lord, the term has the idea of falling down on your face before Him, like a servant falling down on his face before a master, waiting for the next order, waiting for the next commandment. So when that's true, that's what we are. We're servants. We're servants of the living God. Okay? All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your wisdom. We thank you that we, Father, that we trust you. And I pray that we continue to trust you and that we show our trust in you by not leaning to our own understanding, our Father, but loving you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with everything that we have. Help us to be obedient to your truth. Help us to cry out for knowledge, cry out for understanding, to search and seek for wisdom as if it is a precious, precious treasure, for it is greater than anything that we can garner in a material sense. We pray that you you bless this day. May it be a day of fruitfulness, a day of wonderful fellowship, and a day of learning more of your truth so we can continue to walk in your ways. These things I pray in Christ's name. Amen.